When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hashtag crew assembled around us. I'm just looking at this here, and I should say it out loud now. I want to thank Chris Russo and Michael Kay. We told you in the first hour today that Hembo's in my new book, which will be out in the fall. We've been begging the publisher to create a sale for us. We want the people who listen to us on the radio to be able to have some reward for that, to buy the book at a discounted price. And so they worked with Barnes & Noble, and we have that available for you right now. You can get 25% off if you pre-order it today. The book is called Got Your Answers. You can very easily go to the top, pinned at the top of my Twitter page, and click on the link, and you can order it right from there. And so I just went on to look at the link because I hadn't seen it yet. I just knew what it was. And I was reminded, because they printed them both here, both Chris Mad Dog Russo and Michael Kay wrote very nice things about the book. I sent it to them ahead of time and asked them if they would write a little, they're called blurbs for the back of the book. And they're really very nice what they wrote, including, you will appreciate this, and it makes me feel good as one who grew up sort of admiring him. Mad Dog wrote, if anybody knows how to put historical sports debates in book form, it's these two, you and me. That's nice. So again, my thanks to Chris, my thanks to Michael Kay, and everyone else. And if you are interested in the book, again, you can pre-order right now and get 25% off.
Can I point out something I love about the overview here listed on the Barnes & Noble site? It refers to Hembo as a mega producer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they sort of invented that for the first one.
I dig it.
What exactly is that? Is that actually your title?
Of course not.
I'm
a content producer.
You got to change that title.
Well, did they make that up or did you make that
up? Oh, they made that up.
The publisher made that.
Yeah,
I
don't know why.
Your responsibilities are beyond that of a regular producer. You're a mega producer.
I guess, but it doesn't. It's so unofficial. It's so slangy. I'm not sure that I love it.
Yeah, it does have a hyphen in it.
What it does or does not?
It does.
It should not.
It should not.
It should just be mega producer.
To be mega producer.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have a word with that guy.
Good thing they didn't write the book.
Yeah. Anyway, one way or another, we thank you to Michael, thank you to Chris, and thank you to anyone who is interested. Again, you can click on my link there, and you can be in on it. Okay, you just brought something up that I think is interesting. So we've been talking about, and for those of you just joining us, we played it earlier, and you saw it hopefully on TV with us this morning. You know, Darvin Ham was asked about those people who believe that they should have purposely lost last night. And I don't know how many other people were saying it. I know, obviously, I was one person saying it. And he said anyone saying that should be in an insane asylum. And it was a good line. And I would 100% expect him to say that. And I respect the hell out of him and them for playing the way they did last night. So that's first and foremost. But if indeed we are living in a world where we want to, if you've been listening to me, you know that I am firmly in favor of disincentivizing losing. I've always hated tanking. It's why I don't like the way the drafts are done. You shouldn't be giving the first pick in the draft every year to the team with the worst record. It gives teams incentive to have the worst record. That's why the NBA has done such a good job with its lottery, with slanting its lottery odds towards teams, but not necessarily giving them just the first overall pick. Every league is trying to disincentivize losing. Something that came up, and Joe Fortenbaugh, who I also hold in very high regard, brought up one way that we could keep teams from jockeying for seeding.
The NBA should now, instead of seeding being determined by record, I think the top four seeds in each conference should be allowed to pick their opponent for the opening round of the playoffs. If you're the Boston Celtics, you can pick from anyone you want. Anyone. And then when you're the number two seed, the Knicks, they get to make the next selection as to who they're going to play. And then if you're the third seed, you make the selection as to who they play. No one's going to be ducking games late in the season because there's literally nothing you can do. Ducking a game is not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. You are where you are. And if you don't control the selection, then you're at the whim of the team that wants to pick you. On top of it, think about the way you could generate revenue and interest just from a TV standpoint. You don't think I'd be sitting there on the edge of my seat waiting to see who Boston's going to pick in the opening round? Waiting to see who Oklahoma City earning the one seed is going to pick for their opening round matchup? Great theater, great money generator. I honestly don't see a downside to this.
He's not the first person I've heard say it, but he is the most recent. And it's well said. He lays it out well. Would you be in favor of that, Hembo?
I would. And I think this is something for which Adam Silver will think long and hard about. We know he's innovative. He added an in-season tournament. He added the play-in. Both have been wildly successful, in my opinion. The one thing I don't know for sure, and you'll have a good answer to this because you covered the NBA the last few years and did Countdown for us. Could you actually pull it off schedule-wise? Could you turn it around this quick while also having the play-in tournament? Because, you know, for example, the East is going to play their two games tonight, so we won't know the outcomes there until Wednesday evening. We're starting these games on the weekends. Could you actually pull this together in time to make all the necessary arrangements? Because creating a schedule with, you know, 16 teams in it is incredibly complicated. If the NBA could figure out that side of things and get it right from a TV standpoint, I am all for it.
You couldn't do it exactly the way you do it now. So let's bear in mind, there are two factors in scheduling of these games. The league is one of them. Television is the other. Television has every bit as much say in how this stuff goes. ABC, TNT, ESPN, NBA TV to a degree. Like, we want that game, we want that game, we want that game. And that's a negotiation, and that's the way it's supposed to be, right? We want the biggest games. TNT wants the biggest games. Everyone involved in that is doing their job by trying to lobby for the biggest games. If you start scheduling these things, what I'm trying to say is, from a television standpoint, I don't think TV could determine when the games are going to be played until after the matchups
right.
are set. Now, if you're going to do the play-in the way it's currently being done, there are still too many things that are outstanding. There's no way you could start Saturday because the teams that are yet to win are among the likeliest teams that are going to get selected first.
Right.
So if let's just say you're the Celtics, you probably are going to want whoever wins the Atlanta
Chicago game.
Chicago game.
Right.
You're going to want to wait and see if they beat Miami or Philly, because that's the team you're going to want to pick if they're still around. Well, you won't know that until midnight Friday night, or whatever time that game is scheduled for, until late Friday. If you don't know that matchup, if in theory the first seed hasn't been able to make its pick, then neither can the second
right.
or the third
mm-hmm.
seeds, which means you couldn't have any of this until after the play-in tournament was done. So in theory, if you want to do this and you don't want an elongated downtime, I think you would have to change when the NBA season ends. So let's just live in a world where you wrap up your season on a Thursday. You could have your play-ins, I'm just making this up now, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and then you could start the regular playoffs Friday night or Saturday, Sunday. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Yeah, so like
head.
A 9 or 10 day break
you
between.
You need some days.
Right.
Here's the problem. I don't know that the teams that would have those 9 or 10 day breaks would like that.
They might not.
I mean, and frankly, that would be everybody. It would be every team besides the ones in the play-in
mm-hmm.
would have that long a break.
Yeah.
I don't think they would like that.
You'd almost have to choose between the play-in or the pick your opponent format.
Now, the place you could do it is the NFL. That would be the place to do it. Because every game is a week away anyway. So
right.
you could do that. In the NFL, for sure.
I think the best thing that, or the most accurate thing Joe said is, it would be so compelling to watch.
Oh, it would be a bonanza. That special would be incredible.
I mean, to it would be like a little draft lottery, like right with a team representative. You know, you pull out the card, and we want and there's your bulletin board. And if you're trying to sell a fight, you're trying to build a fight, you're trying to create drama. I can't think of something better than that. The problem with Joe's idea, and this is an idea that many have discussed, is the timing. I don't know if you can do both. The play-in tournament I like so much, but the timing of it makes it almost impossible to pull this off.
Well, look, I mean, there's reseeding, which also is a thing, and then there's choosing who you want to play.
Right.
So what the reseeding protects you from in hockey and stuff like that is the eighth seed, knocking off the one seed, and then suddenly someone else has a much harder path instead, and someone gets an easier path.
Right.
So you could wait until the round ends and then reseed But no, but even that doesn't work.
Here's the thing. The reason I think this is such an important discussion point is the fact that Philly's the 7 seed, but isn't a 7 seed. Philly is the second best team in basketball. When Joel Embiid plays, they win more than 3/4 of their games and outscore their opponent by more than 10 points a game. They're the second best team in the NBA behind Boston when Joel Embiid plays.
Well, so let's actually illustrate that point. If we enacted this, and the top 4 seeds picking in order, well, the 4 seed doesn't pick. They just get whoever's left.
Mm-hmm.
So the top 3 seeds in the East picking in order are Boston, the Knicks, and Milwaukee. And let's just put, for the purposes of this discussion, let's put Philly and Miami in, out of the play-in scenarios.
Okay.
Is there any question that Philly would wind up playing the 4th team, which is Cleveland?
None.
Every team would not pick them first. Boston would pick whoever they would pick. The Knicks would then pick whoever they would pick. Milwaukee would pick whoever they would pick. And Philly would be left.
Right.
I think there's an outside chance teams would avoid the Heat over them, depending on how those playing games look. But I think they're probably most likely to end up 4th.
You think?
People, the Heat are so good in the playoffs. Like, they just turn into a new gear that Philly has not. They've done the opposite. So I agree that Philly is the better team, but you never know how this goes once you get there, and Eric Spoelstra just works his magic.
Yeah, he's a very good coach.
Maybe so, but even so, I'm using Philly as a proxy.
Who would be first? You're Boston. In that scenario, take out Atlanta and Chicago. Who would be the obvious one?
Orlando.
Who are you taking?
I want Orlando.
You want Orlando out of Orlando, Miami, Philly, and who am I forgetting?
I want Orlando.
Who's the eighth?
Pacers.
The Pacers are the 6th seed.
Indiana.
I want Orlando. And we saw Cleveland tank their last game in order to play Orlando. I think it's very compelling to be able to do this. You're not getting any of that nonsense basketball, which we would love to avoid. We'd love to avoid Game 82 being the disgrace that it became. But you only have so much time. And I don't think the league wants to take a week and a half off either.
So is there a way of doing it without that?
Could it be expedited is what you're asking.
Right.
I don't know. Not with the current play-in format. You'd have to reduce the play-in to just the 8 seed, I think, in order to do that. Maybe you have a two-team play-in for the 8 seed or something like that. That's the only way that you could pull it off without it taking 4 or 5 days, right?
Probably. I mean, you don't want to force teams to play back-to-backs then. So
right.
You wouldn't ever schedule the games to be on back-to-back days.
Right.
The way we do it now, where we put, you know, 2 games on one night and 2 games on another, is largely done so that TNT can have a night and we can have a night.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, that's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never put all 4 games on the same day for that reason, because you don't want them conflicting with each other. So if you want to do that, you have to have a day off there. So there's no scenario in which it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no scenario in which it doesn't take 4 days to do that.
Right. I've also heard a lot of pushback from people inside the NBA that a team like the Hawks has not the same chance, but a comparable chance to making the playoffs when they won 11 fewer games than Philly during the regular season. Like, that's also a good faith argument. Like, I think the play-in works. It generates a lot of interest. And of course, I think it makes the regular season more powerful and more compelling.
But they don't have the same chance.
You know what I'm saying?
They have to win 2 games. Philly only has to win 1.
Yes, but what I'm saying is,
but that's a big difference.
No, what I'm saying is, should a 36-win team have an opportunity to make the playoffs?
Well, yeah,
it's manufactured.
Right.
It's fake. You know, the Bulls were a 39-win team. The jump from the Bulls at 9 to Miami at 8 is 7 wins. In theory, Miami, for example, they lose to Philly, a team that won 7 more games in Chicago and 10 more games in Atlanta. You're playing an elimination game to reach the playoffs when you had a way better regular season.
I get it. But, I mean, when the 1 seed plays the 8 seed, the difference between those two teams may be 30 wins. Well, not 30, but, well, I guess in the case, if Boston play, let's live in a world where Atlanta came out of the East,
mm-hmm.
out of the East play-in as the 8 seed. What's the difference in record between the Celtics and the Hawks?
28. 64 versus 36.
That's okay. So funny.
It's 28 games. And their reward for that is 1 extra home game in a best of 7.
1 extra home game in the best of 7.
That's all it is. So they have, frankly, Atlanta has every bit as good a chance of doing that. They have to win 1 game on the road. So, I mean, I get it. A best of 7 is a much better way of determining who the better team actually is. But I have been arguing for years that a team should have a greater home court advantage once we get past this.
I guess what I'm saying is that there might need to be a threshold for the play-in. Like, for you to qualify for the play-in. And that could be, I don't know, win half of your games, for example.
Right, but then all of a sudden we're only going to have a play-in if you have 10 teams that do that? Like, You're right. Either going to have a play-in or you're not.
Were you good enough or not, though?
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, you're either scheduling a play-in or you're not.
All I'm saying is if we're going to open up the can, let's talk about the whole thing.
Okay, put everything on the table and figure it out. There. Hembo Trivia. We are Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. When you save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance, visit progressive.com.
Who is the only player to make the Pro Bowl 10 times for the Chicago Bears? It was the Bears' only 10-time Pro Bowler. That's the question.
How far back does the Pro Bowl date? Does it matter?
I think it dates back to the 30s or 40s, but I'll find that date for
you in the break. But the point is way back. So it's going to include the 50s and the 60s.
It sure will.
It's a good question. Answer next, ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, we'll take a crack at Hembo's second sneaky trivia question of the day. That's after we remind you that for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hembo, go.
Who is the only player in Bears history to make the Pro Bowl 10 times with the team?
All right, so that is the question, and I will go around the horn here. Bubba, you have the answer.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, obviously going through all the obvious people, but every person I think of, there's no way they had 10. So I'm just going to say Walter Payton, but I'm fairly confident that he's not going to have 10.
Okay, Cam?
I'm going with this guy.
I want winners.
Mike Singletary.
Those are two very, very good guesses.
Mustache Eric is here as well. Mm.
Mustache Eric, you have a guess?
I do have a guess. I'm going to go outside the box here. Think of an offensive lineman. I'm going to go Olin Krutz.
Wow.
Huh. Well, that is outside the box.
Kind of sure like
is.
It.
I also like his voice.
Do you?
He's got a good voice.
He's got a way better voice than his mustache.
I love that.
Yeah, you sound much better than you look.
Yeah, I know. You were when they say you've got a face for radio, they've never meant it more than they mean it right now.
They don't mean it for simulcast on radio.
Yeah.
We have one Devin Hester, that's from Jack, and one Brian Urlacher.
Oh, Devin Hester.
From Brandon.
So your immediate inclination is to think about defense. Dick Butkus retired at the age of 30 because his knees were so bad. He's the best defensive player the Bears ever had. Mike Singletary and Brian Urlacher are both players who sort of would fall in that category of all-time great as well. And they've had quite a few other all-time great defensive players. Far fewer on the offensive side. If you were going to name an offensive lineman, Krutz is an interesting one I hadn't thought of. Jimbo Covert is in the Hall of Fame. He was a great offensive tackle for the Bears. But, I mean, Walter Payton was there long enough to have set the all-time rushing record until it was broken by Emmitt Smith. He certainly was a top-flight running back in the NFL, even though very few of them are, for 10 years. He was also a player of such stature that I could see him getting Pro Bowl votes even late in his career when he might not have been one of the two best running backs anymore. So I obviously don't know the answer, but I like Bubba's guess. I'm going to go with Walter Payton.
And the correct answer is Mike Singletary.
Yes! Wow. Woo! So what do you mean you knew it? Why didn't you say it if you knew
it? I want winners.
Mike Singletary is first with 10. Walter Payton is second with 9.
I want winners. Wow.
So here's the thing about Brandon that drives me crazy. He gives an answer, then finds out what the correct answer is, and his first reaction is, I knew it.
Every time.
You're by definition not allowed to say, I knew it, when we have actual proof you didn't know it.
This is just like Jack giving us Damian Lillard after we got it wrong earlier.
Pineapple Jack.
Give us the answer
very
earlier.
Very unhelpful.
Yeah. The we've gotten very little help from the squad today.
By the way, can we get a standings check? It's been a while.
Yeah, we haven't done a standings check in a while. Well, I don't know where we fly with some of the – because we've had all kinds of people in the group
We don't need to do it every time. But
let's catch us up on standings.
We got a long standings check here.
We got Eric in there now, too.
I am 35 and 53. Bubba is 27 and 52. Greeny is 30 and 58. Jack's 23 and 40. Brandon is 18 and 43. Nick is still 7 and 1. Joey Molinaro is 1 and 0. Liam's 0-2, Eric's 0-1, Nuno's 0-1, Evan Cohen's 0-1, Jay Billis is 0-1, and Dominique Foxworth is 0-1. And that's why we don't do a standings check every day.
No, I think we should.
Can you give those again by win percentage?
Yeah, you got to order them, I think.
How many games out of the playoffs is Jack?
Quite a bit.
Okay.
Jack is tanking.
All right, so I love how mad Brandon is. Like, Brandon is so mad.
Well, he knew the answer.
He's actually mad.
Because he knew the answer but didn't say it aloud. Which is the same thing as not knowing the answer. And so away we go with that. So I would, Walter, whatever. Okay, let's move on with that. So let's go back. You said to me during that break that you came up with a schedule that would work for the play-in. For the purposes of this discussion, here's the exercise we're undergoing. We like the play-in. I think everyone likes the play-in. It's excellent. And we also like the idea of allowing the top seeds in the conferences to choose their opponents. For any number of reasons, A, it seems like the biggest advantage you could give them, and B, just as much, it would create great drama.
Yeah, the end of the regular season would matter every single game.
It would help that, but more to the point, it would create great drama in the special, the televised special.
Oh, sure,
where you see who it is that's playing who. It's the opposite of doing it the way they do it in the Ryder Cup, but that would also be kind of an interesting way to do it. Just everyone just puts in 1 through 8, and you just wherever they get matched up, they get matched up. Speaking of which, would you ever even consider the possibility of mixing the conferences before the finals?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm intrigued by that idea, especially since the West has beaten the East. I want to say in 22 of the last 25 years, it's just a consistently better conference. But I do like the tradition of that, and it's existed forever. You know, in baseball,
tradition is the reason that they do it, parenthetically.
I mean, at the very beginning, it was probably for the convenience of travel, right?
It still is. They do not want in the first round. They do not want a team in San Francisco playing Miami in the first round.
I mean, it's not an issue in football or in baseball or in hockey,
because they play one game, and I mean, it just is a little bit different. Yeah. And basketball, anyway, that is, I believe, the reason they still do it.
Either way.
Whatever. All right. So, but the problem is, if you were to do the play-in roughly the way we do it now, and you were letting everyone choose who they got to play, you couldn't have those selections until Saturday, right? That would be the first time you could do it under the current schedule. I guess if you had the selections on Saturday, you know who the home teams are going to be. Could you play the games on Sunday?
I don't think so. That'd be too tough to turn it around. Here's my idea. Here's my pitch. I'm using these days as examples. They could be any days. So the end of the regular season, we'll say, is on a Sunday. Okay? You're going to play all 4 play-in games on Tuesday.
But you're going to have a problem there.
With what?
Are you going to put them up against each other?
You can do it however you want.
No, they don't want to do that. I mean, if we're going to come up with a realistic plan, of course. There's any number of ways we could do this if we were just going to set
Tell me why you couldn't play four games on Tuesday.
Because you don't want to run them up against each other. ESPN should get two, is going to get two of them, and TNT is going to get two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either going to have games on at the same time, or you're going to start the first one at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
You can do four. You could do 6:30. You could do 9. You could do 11. You could do it the way that they stagger the NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, well, they don't start NCAA tournament games at 11 o'clock at night.
And stagger them every hour and a half or something to that extent. And ESPN and TNT can go every other. We'll stagger it that way.
Okay, let me hear out the rest of it.
You're going to play the play-in championships, if you will, or the play-in, the eight seed championship on Thursday. So you're going to go Sunday into the regular season, four games on Tuesday, two games on Thursday.
And then you start Saturday.
And the selection show is Friday. You start Saturday or Sunday.
So I have a way you could do this without the selection show.
Oh, tell me.
The way you do it is you have in a secret ballot, like, and maybe you just add some intrigue to this. Let's just use the East. You have the Celtics. They give a list in descending order of the teams they want to play. So our first choice is Atlanta. Our second choice, I'm just making this up, is Indiana, Miami, Orlando, blah, 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 blah. At some point along the way through the play-in, like, these matchups are going to get set.
So when are you submitting that, though?
You're submitting that right after the season ends. These are the teams I want to play.
But Zion just got hurt yesterday. Like, that's going to change what you think about.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You have to wait and see how these games go.
Right, of course. So that's why, let's say you play Tuesday and Thursday. We'll try and figure out the TV schedule. We'll try and figure it out. We'll get the partners together. We'll figure out Tuesday. We'll figure out Thursday. And then Friday, noon, just like you do for college football, you'll do a selection show of some kind. And you can start probably Sunday, but maybe even Saturday evening.
Oh, I think you could start possible. Saturday for sure. If you did the selection on
Friday. But the travel will then be challenging. If for example, Milwaukee gets Atlanta, like, you're going to have to get them there, you know?
That day.
So you might want to give everyone like a big round robin-y start on Sunday, and then you're taking off 1 week, which is close to what we have now.
And it's only one day away from what you have now.
So the best argument.
But you could do that now. Like, you could play, we're going to have games Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the selection on Saturday and start them Sunday. No?
You could, but you got to get the teams places.
Yeah.
You got to find a hotel for all these people.
Right.
These are all factors, of course. And so Tell me why you couldn't play four games on one day.
I already told you. From a TV standpoint, they don't want that. They don't want the games up against each other. They want each of them standing alone, and there are a lot of dollars involved in that.
The average NBA game is only roughly over 2 hours. You don't think you could stagger them from late afternoon?
A little
afternoon?
More than 2 hours.
Right.
Take it from one who sat here waiting for them to end for a long
time.
No one
knows better than you
it's
how long
more
an
than
NBA
two
game
hours.
Takes.
It's more like 2.5 hours.
Okay. So if you did every 2.5 hours, you could pull it off. It would take you 10, of course, but you could do it. You could do it if you decided.
If you're willing to play games during 100% working hours, up to and including the fact that you might have, let's just live in a world where the Clippers are in the play-in, or the Warriors are in the play-in now. They might start their game at 10 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. I mean, that's
we do the NCAA tournament that way.
I know.
No one seems to mind.
Yeah, but these are professionals, and they're going to have a say in it.
And a consolation prize for the TV networks is TNT, ESPN. We're giving you, ESPN, you get the East selection show. TNT, you get the West selection show, so you might lose a little bit of the juice in terms of the TV ratings on that Tuesday, but you're getting the standalone time with a dramatic show built around the selection.
It's not terrible. I mean, if all we would be doing is pushing back the start of everything one day,
one day.
So you're going to have your selection Friday night?
Friday noon.
See, but again, if you want to get a television audience for that, you got to put it on at night. You can't put these things on at noon on a weekday.
And you do it Friday night.
Yeah, you do it Friday night.
You do it Friday night.
And then teams can travel Saturday.
And
I mean,
play
it's
Sunday.
Not easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
To your point, you got to get hotels. You got to make sure all the arena. That's the other part. Okay, no, stop. Stop. I just remembered the other thing. Television does not determine these things alone, okay? So I happen to run into, I think I can say this. There's no reason I can't say this. Part of who got which games Tuesday and Wednesday was based upon whether or not the Sixers were in it. Because the Sixers arena was busy Tuesday.
With the Flyers, yeah.
They had a hockey game. Mm-hmm. So if the Sixers had been out of the play-in, then it might have been flipped. The West might have gone Wednesday and the East might have gone Tuesday. But because the Sixers were hosting a play-in game, they couldn't play Tuesday.
Right.
The point is, all those things get factored in here as well.
Of course.
So when they're making these schedules, even for the first weekend, they need some time. Like, you can't just look at that and say, oh, the Celtics have chosen Atlanta, but the Celtics, you know, Atlanta waited until this point to play, and now they got to play the first game on Saturday. Like, there's so there are so many balls in the air on this that it becomes...
The Sixers are like hosting the Hawks in the Palestra.
I forgot about this, but there's more to scheduling than just the TV piece of it. There is the availability of their arena.
But you could theoretically do the selection show on Thursday, too. So you could, let's say you could have a game at 5 and at 7:30 and do the selection shows immediately after that, too, to give yourself another extra day or something like that. If you're going to sacrifice having to play some games earlier than you'd prefer, you can get the tournament set up by the end of the day Thursday.
Are we willing to sacrifice the play-in tournament for this?
If you're making it an either or, I think I would prefer this.
I think I would prefer keeping the play-in because it is more about the regular season.
Yeah.
Right, it's about keeping teams interested and keeping fan bases interested to the very end of the season. If you're cutting it off at 8, who would we be losing this year? Be losing Sacramento,
Golden State,
Atlanta, and Chicago. And no, the world doesn't come to an end.
No,
it was nice having one more Steph Curry game.
It does not come to an end. I think that the idea is just so attractive. It sounds like, though, in talking through this, especially when you add in the scheduling component, that it might be a little bit too challenging logistically. Even if Adam would want to do it, I'm not sure he can check all the boxes required to pull it off and get it around in 2 days.
Let's ask Bubba. Many of you may not know this, but Bubba, before his long-standing and at this point legendary career in radio production, actually was one of the scheduling executives, one of the highest rated. I mean, he was in television executive of practically unparalleled. Remember the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat?
Mm.
Bubba wrote that. Did you know that? But he wrote that line for Jim McKay and the Wide World of Sports. So Bubba's been around that long and obviously has that level of experience. Bubba, could we figure out let's start with this. Would you like this idea? Do you like the reseeding before we even figure out if there's a way logistically to do it?
Yeah, I like, Joe's idea, or like you said, many people have had it before, but he's the most recent. I think it's a good, compelling idea, and it would be added drama, and it would be something I would tune into, but I do think you're bringing up all the different points, and whether it's TV perspective, travel, arena. I think that it is just too much to, at least so far, we haven't figured out. I just don't think you can get it done in that time where it's going to be, all right, well, now the players have whatever it is, 7 days. It's just too much time. I have not heard right now when we're figuring out a way to do it adequately that makes sense because there's just too much going on.
Well, let's keep thinking about this. Hold on a minute. Hold on. I because we're doing this on the fly, we're going to say some things that seem to contradict each other. The same four teams are going to be hosting the games that weekend.
Right.
So they have to have available arenas.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have hotel rooms booked for someone to come stay there.
Yeah, that's not the issue. The issue you raised was with the play-in with the Sixers. So like that's why you couldn't have all four on the same night this year. That was just an example that you used
from the
play-in.
No, I'm saying. But my point is, if you can get the play-in somehow done during the week, the selection doesn't necessarily have to even add a day.
It does
not. You could tack the selection on after the last play-in game is done.
Mm-hmm.
You that could just become a special that airs at, late at night, whatever time
Thursday
the game's
evening
in,
after the game, yeah.
After the game.
I'm with you.
On TNT or on ESPN or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. It's not going to impact because the four teams are going to be set.
The four teams,
so arena wise,
it's
not set. But conversely, they're not going to do a special at 11:30 at night or 1 a.m. Okay, now let's pick the teams.
Right.
If they're going to do this, they're clearly going to do 8 o'clock standalone thing, whatever that is.
Right.
So that's a separate issue. But yeah, I think arena wise, that is not, as we're thinking it through, that is true. The four teams on each are going to be set. Their arenas are going to be set. So I think it's more of a TV and then a travel thing. How short can you give teams notice? Okay, now you're going to there, and this is who we want.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this, Bubba, but I feel like when the NFL regular season ends, they already know who's playing in what window the second weekend, right? Like that. No, they can't do that. No, they can't because they don't even know who's going to win the first weekend. I take it back. When there were two teams that got byes, I feel like they used to announce those things well in advance. But I'm sure I'm wrong now that I think about it, because the three seed could lose, the fourth seed could lose. So everything winds up changing. Look, I like the conversation. That's a little inside baseball, if you will, for a radio show like this, where because there's so much of the inside sports stuff. But we'll see if and where there's a way to figure it out. All right, coming up next, I've got a bone to pick with Pineapple Jack, or at least I'm going to ask you if you think Pineapple Jack should be better at his primary job, or maybe otherwise put, the only thing he's supposed to do. We'll find out next on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Very quickly here, I want to bring in Pineapple Jack, and then I got to read you some stuff about Bill Belichick that was fascinating. But before I do, for those of you just joining us, I want to make very quickly mention of the fact that Hembo and I have been begging our publisher. So we have a new book coming out this fall. It's called Got Your Answers. We're going to settle the 100 biggest sports debate questions once, forever, and always. There will be nothing left to argue about once you have read this book, and Hembo includes 100 sneaky trivia questions along the way. We have been begging them to do a sale for our radio listeners, because if you listen to the show, we want you to have an opportunity to buy the book at a discounted price, and so they have done it. Today, if you go there, Barnes & Noble is running a special on our upcoming book. If you go to the pinned tweet at the top of my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny and click on the link, you will get 25% off Got Your Answers if you pre-order it today.
I was looking at some of the content from the book this morning, actually, because we were talking about dynasties. We were talking about the Warriors. We were talking about some of the great dynasties in the history of the NBA. And if you're like us and you're a sports fan that likes arguing about things like that, this is going to be the book for you. There are 100, you know, debates, lists, things of that nature. I guarantee you many of them you've debated amongst your friends, and I think you'll have a really good time and learn a lot along the way.
Okay, so we thank you, as always, for the support. The tweet is up there, and you can pre-order right now 25% off the book. Again, it's called Got Your Answers. Okay, next I bring in Pineapple Jack. We love Jack. Jack is very knowledgeable.
We like Jack.
No, no,
I love you
Jack.
Guys. Oh, speak for yourself.
No, well, I love Jack.
Well, I like Jack.
You merely like him.
I merely like him.
And I feel like Bubba and Cam just tolerate Jack.
At most.
I like Jack.
At best.
Aw.
But one way or another. So Jack's job, he is the dopo. He is the director of printing operations. His job is to, you know, print things for me and hand them to me. Primarily my scripts for Get Up in the Morning, but any number of other things that he will frequently hand me.
And for First Take, too.
And he does that for First Take, too. But for the purposes of this conversation, that doesn't matter. And he also, did someone send you a laminator? Is that what I understand?
That is correct.
What happened?
We were talking about the laminator on the show, and a laminator company heard our conversation and was gracious enough to send us a nice, expensive, high-quality laminator.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys didn't know this?
We have a laminator now.
I was not told about this new lamination station.
Oh, this thing's like a Ferrari.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, it hums.
Much quicker.
We're just over there laminating things all the time.
It just purrs.
But so I asked Jack to laminate the basketball playoff bracket for me, because it's nice and easy to look at. I see who's playing who and all that kind of thing. So if you know me, Hembo, at the end of the day, I have all these pieces of paper. What do I do with them?
He's awesome.
Yeah, every day. So he comes to me the second day and he says, did you save the laminated playoff bracket? And I said, no, I did not. Would you mind just printing me one every day? So every day he has brought me a laminated copy of the playoff bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's today's. I draw your attention to the fact that the play-in games still say winner of 9-10, loser of 7-8 on both sides. Two of these games have been played. So he gave me a bracket that is not updated. So the one thing I need from him is a laminated playoff bracket, but this one does not include last night's games. So did you think what I wanted from now until the end of the NBA Finals was a laminated bracket of what it looked like to begin with? Or do you think I was hoping for something that I could continue to use as games were played?
No, well, I actually did think about this morning, and I encountered two things. One was that during March Madness, when I started this trend of printing out brackets, I did it round by round. So even on the Thursday, Friday of the first round, I didn't print a new bracket after Thursday with the first half of results from the first round.
And that was, you did that why?
Only because nobody makes an updated bracket after just one day. I would have to manually make it. It would be almost an impossible process to get.
That is not true.
Looking good enough for you know, my standard.
Right. See, what you're saying is you couldn't have just written in the names of the teams that won. So that whoever was hosting the show, I wasn't here that day, but whoever was hosting the show could just look at it and see who won the game.
You know, I would have to look into that, but it would be hard because
Define
I would
looking
have to
into look that, into you print that. A piece
they
of paper.
They all played
and
the games.
Do you have a pen? Do you have access to a pen?
Yes.
So then you could have done that very easily. You could have written Connecticut and all the other ones.
In theory, I could have done that.
Duke. Consult.
It's not up to his standard.
Not an impossible task.
Right?
Yeah.
You could have done that. But let's say. But so you chose not to because you thought it was too hard?
No, not quite.
Too tedious?
I didn't want to
I guess
ruin.
My point is, why would you not have given me a bracket today that showed that the Kings won this game and the Lakers won this game?
In theory, I could have done that.
And no, in fact, that the
that's
Lakers
the second
are now
time
here
you've said in
this
theory.
Row of the team that is playing the Nuggets.
Well, I would have given you an updated bracket when the play-in round was complete with what the first round will be.
I'm at NBA.com/playoffs, very hard to find, and I see this bracket is updated on their website, so this would have been a very easy screenshot, print, laminate, and go. You seem to be full of excuses and not full of anything.
You know, they don't update them after each game. So I'm surprised. I don't know. That must be new, NBA.com, doing that.
Who would ever think of doing that? Who would ever think of putting the results in right after they take place?
Well, in theory, they could have.
In theory. Nothing here has to be theorized.
It's very difficult to find even a blank original NBA playoff bracket.
Hembo just found it in 8 seconds.
I had to go searching for that. And even that is not something that's printable. I had to screenshot that and make the page myself.
Very printable.
Fit to the page.
NBA.com/playoffs.
For March Madness, you can find the printable bracket.
That was last month.
Yes.
What does that have to do with this?
I guess what I'm asking you is, what is it you were otherwise doing this morning that prevented you from taking the time to do this?
Great question.
One, I have other duties. I have to print rundowns, box scores, scripts, things like that.
I'm saying that. But I do happen to see you and Hembo like playing that ridiculous little game the two of you have over there all the time.
Ring toss, yeah.
It's been a while.
They play like a ring toss game for reasons known only to them in the morning, and which just does not scream, I'm incredibly busy. You know, like no one ever looks at two guys sitting there playing ring toss and says, boy, those guys have too much on their
plate.
No, especially on this morning. I got my stuff done relatively early. I could have done it. I made the decision to wait until the round was complete.
But Jack, you did this today. This piece of paper, you did this today.
Yes.
Why does it?
I actually did not do that today. That is a carryover from my original printing and laminating of brackets.
Obvious.
I made extras.
So you made several of them.
I mean, extras, but nothing updated. So you have to remember who won each game, each round, just like you did for the March Madness.
There was two games last night.
Is this going to take till year two before you do this? Like, what is the development pipeline here?
Yeah. So let's say one of the series ends Are you going to wait until all the series end to put in who the matchups are for the next round, or can you just advance the Celtics on to the next line?
I was going to cross that bridge when I got to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, so let's have this conversation now then.
Let's what cross that bridge.
I would prefer that.
Yeah. I would prefer the information to be as up-to-date as possible.
Okay. I can't remember.
I'll make that happen.
Did the Cavs beat the Magic?
I'm looking at it. Who the hell won that game? I can't even remember now. Like,
by the way, Jack, who do you got tonight, Miami or Philly?
I like Philly. I think with Embiid healthy, they're just a different beast. They're criminally underseeded because of Embiid's injury.
They
and
sure
with him
are.
Healthy, they're
Are they
a
then going to beat the Knicks?
I like the Knicks. I don't know how they handle Embiid.
You're a Knicks fan
healthy,
or a Nets fan?
I'm a Nets fan. But the Knicks have been so fun to watch. I've arguably watched more Knicks than Nets games this
Who's
year.
Who's arguing with that?
Myself. No, I don't think it's true.
In theory.
There's no way in hell you watched more Knicks games than Nets games this year. I'm arguing with you about this.
In theory. Who have you watched more, the Nets or the
Knicks? Don't you love Pineapple Jack?
He plays along, at least.
Who do you think had a greater contribution to the program today, Pineapple Jack or Mustache Eric?
Mustache Eric.
I got to shave this off.
Well played today. All right, good fun to be had today, and we will see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.